Hey, America.
Start listening now.
Oh, we finally made it. What's left? What do we still need to review?
It's our last preview. So we're going to finally be touching on Germany, Eric.
Germany? The Germany?
Uh-oh. He's turning red, guys.
Oh, God!
He's going to blow!
And welcome to another high-pressure episode of 12 Points from America, the Eurovision podcast that loves you back. I'm Eric.
I'm Derek.
I'm Samantha.
I'm Liz.
And I'm Danny.
Hey.
Yeah.
Back, baby.
That's it. Yeah. For the last time. Not the last time, but
no.
the last preview show before we do our dreaded wrap-up for this year. There are just... wait, are we doing five or six this week? We're doing the last six.
Six this week. And you are going to be so mad at me next week, and possibly also this week. So I'm very excited.
I don't know. In my opinion, there's not a lot to choose from in terms of songs to like, so I feel like we're all going to be choosing the same six.
I don't know.
I wouldn't count on it. I really wouldn't.
Says the guy who's jumping for Tonshine. I mean,
I was going to say, little Mr. Tonshine 2026 over here is, maybe I'll eat my words.
Quite possibly. All right. Do we just do it?
I do want to give a quick, shout out, though. I say every week that we want to thank our Patreon supporters, especially, but we'd like to give exclusive shout outs to the people who joined our fray over the past week or so. And we want to welcome our new patrons, Alwyn Tower and Juha Sipila. I apologize if I've mispronounced your name. And possibly either the return of or, change in status for Emilia Pedu and ESC HEB. Happy that you're here.
Thanks,
HEB from Texas? Yes.
Yeah, like
the Texas grocery store.
Yeah.
I think we've been over this, and it is a Hebridean figure.
It is.
Okay.
For real. Thank you, ESC Heb and Alwyn and Juha and possibly Amelia. This is welcome to the family. We really do love you back. We hope that you and others are enjoying your exclusive privilege of being part of our public vote. If you are listening to this, you do not have a ton of time. And this just came out. Basically, by the end of the weekend of April 26th, we need those votes from you. The ballot is on the Patreon page. You can check it out. And download it and give your ratings. You can leave funny comments and we may read them on the show. We like to make a game out of that the world, what country is this person talking about? It's really fun. And so we're going to do a bunch of that hopefully. And make sure to get those in and because we really do appreciate them and we're really excited to see who wins our thing. I really have no idea. I feel like with like last year with like Barabada Boss 2, it just seemed like, that's probably going to do well. And it did. This year, I don't know. It's such a weird year.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's someone who's heavily favored for first, but right now it doesn't.
There is.
Heavily. Are we getting to it this week?
No, it's Finland.
Of course. That was going to be one of the three that I was going to mention, but
it's Finland.
I'm going to kill you all.
No, Sweden. The hype around Sweden has definitely died down a bit.
It's in that upper peloton. Sweden is, but it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, right now it's Finland by a mile. I still don't really understand why, but I don't mind. I feel like that would be a fun thing to have win. So,
yeah. But yeah, anyway, other ones that people are talking about, well, I suppose we'll talk about when we do our wrap up because, who knows how odds will change. But
I definitely want to get into the odds when we do the wrap up.
For sure.
Oh, yeah.
Where are we starting this week, though?
All right. So this week we are going to be discussing, well, if you haven't been listening, the songs we basically haven't covered already. We will be talking about Armenia, Luxembourg, Albania, Germany, Denmark. But we will start things off over in Poland. So here is a snippet of Pray by Alicia.
Told me go shake that ass, take that off, 2 steps back. Why it always feel the same? Someone come get me out of here, get me out of here. I guess I gotta fight till nobody can hurt you. In my air, I know my air, I'll stay out of my way.
Okay, that was A Little Bit of Prey by Alicia, representing Poland this year. She was the winner of The Voice of Poland back in 2019, and she's a familiar name and face to us Eurovision fans. She was originally intended to represent Poland in 2020, the contest that we dare not speak of, with the song Empires. Finally gets her shot again. She released her first full album in 2024, number of singles released onto the Polish market. And she took part also in the national final in 2023, but only came in 6th place out of 10. She's finally making that dream come true. So she'll be performing in semifinal 1 in spot number 14, sandwiched between San Marino and Serbia. Derek, it looks like you've drawn the straw to start us off this week. Whether that's a short straw or not, that's up to you. What do you think of Poland?
I don't think it's a short straw. I'm going to start off on a positive note and say I quite like this one. And I don't think that's going to be a shared opinion. And Danny's very happy with that. We'll see. I was really taken aback by this one. There's nothing else like it. I don't think we get anything else. We haven't had anything else like this in years. And I would go all the way back to like 2019. Too Late for Love kind of had a gospel pop sort of feel to it. And that was after 2018's. Why am I blanking on the name of the song now? Caesar Samson.
Nobody But You.
Nobody But You.
That's right.
You worked for the delegation.
I wouldn't say I worked for them. I just kind of hung out.
Did you get to go up and down on the thing, the platform?
No, they don't let you on stage.
Okay.
I know. I would have liked that. But I feel like this is kind of taking that idea and going much further with it. It's way more gospel, a lot more R&B feeling. There's a real crisis of faith kind of tone to it. When she gets into those notes, it really kind of get like when you're in church, but like more, I don't want to say black, but kind of a black church sort of thing. In the South, it has that feel to it. I think it's a really interesting song overall. I don't know why this isn't getting more attention. Maybe people are just gelling with it. It's not predicted to qualify. It's pretty low on the odds to win. Well, I mean, I don't expect it to win, but still, I think she has an incredible voice, and I've seen her do it live, and I know she can do it. And we saw her in 2020. Certainly, this is better than Empires or Vampires. I don't know what it was called. I think she's grown a lot. It's sort of wild to see her 6 years ago have a song get queued up, kind of step away. She tried again, but to come back and do something like this, I think it's really ambitious, really interesting. Yeah, I'm intrigued by it. I hope it does better than they're predicting, but I mean, I would be surprised if it kind of falls by the wayside. Danny.
I never quite have as much of a problem as the rest of you do with a song that sort of moves from genre to genre, because at the minute mark, this song definitely moves strongly out of that gospel feel that I personally also like, and into something that's almost like, what if trap was more melodic? And it's just strange. I just don't think it it develops. It feels less like a three-course meal of a song that sort of changes every now and then, and more just like a poo-poo platter, just kind of like taking a little bit of everything, but it's rather disjointed. The segue, the transition from the two halves of this song, from the earlier half into the second half, it just doesn't feel like it is developed well enough. Doesn't feel like we are sitting or going hard in it enough for me. And it also just doesn't gel with me. Should remind listeners and you guys that I am the resident, have only listened to this once or twice, and within about 2 or 3 hours. It doesn't have hooks for me. Maybe it does for you, Derek, but it doesn't have hooks for me. What was the one that we had last week where it's like, oh, it's sorry, Eins weit drei. Not as much of a problem there where it's like, oh, I really like the beginning of this, but not the second half. It's just that where Eins weit drei just sort of loses me because I think it has a huge amount of promise. This one just loses me because it's just not for me. And so I don't hate it. It's just, I can definitely see why other people just won't give it the time of day. Eric?
I'll say this much. I listened to it a couple times again today after not listening to it for a while, because my first impression wasn't great. And I enjoyed it a lot more than I expected this time. I do agree with Danny that I think that I don't know that it's sufficiently cohesive, but yeah. I think it's an interesting song. that explores religion in a way that I wish it was explored more. This has got to be the only song ever written that pleads, "Lord, are you giving up on me?" And then later says, "Pretty girls rock. I've been on my shit."
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, like, that first one, "Lord, are you giving up on me?" I think there is a significant lack of music, and this is not a Eurovision thing really, because we don't get a ton of religion at Eurovision, but songs that question faith and question God and things like that, that is just, I think it's a really relatable perspective, more than, "Hey God, you're so fine, you blow my mind," or the,
"Hey,
you know,
God."
Like
"Hey God,
I am a church musician. Worship music has its place. That's fine." But like, for something like this, I for something contemporary to reach a wider audience, I really think you need to have more of that edge and the questioning and the have it from a perspective of a human being who struggles with things. And I appreciate that part of this song so much. And I like the sort of the deep booming hip hop parts of it as well. But when you look at it as a whole thing, it just leaves me a little confused. Like, it's weird. And I appreciate that, because Empires wasn't weird and I didn't like Empires at all. And I'm glad that she's here. I'm glad that she got this shot again. I'm glad we can cross another one of those off the list. Ben and Tan, think about it. Yeah, I bet they hate each other now. Anyway, Liz, what do you think?
This is one that I'm struggling with, because she's clearly got pipes. And she sings the belt sections so, so well. Like, I don't mind listening to that at all. I really like the gospel kind of feel there. I don't even really mind that she's rap, like, doing kind of a rap portion. Like, that piece doesn't bother me either. But I think what you're saying, Eric and Danny, too, is that for me, as a song, it doesn't feel cohesive in style or in theme. Because when, you know, "You just got to pray, I got to pray." What are you praying for? Like, what is your ask here of God or of more your jala. Higher power? Yeah, more jala. But no, I mean, like, I don't, the verses don't seem to have anything to do with praying.
Yeah, for real.
Mm-hmm. It seems like she's talking about her career and her life in music and what people have told her to do, you know, take off a little more clothes, shake a little more ass. What are you praying for? Are you praying for that to not be the situation? Are you praying to be forgiven for the quote unquote sins of taking off your clothes for an audience? Like, I don't see what the through line is here. And so that's kind of troubling for me. And I think that's kind of where it loses me. Like I said, she can sing it, that it sounds good, but I'm not finding anything to latch onto emotionally here. And I think for me, it suffers for that.
You know what they should do? Is they should do a quick the camera angle Jekyll and Hyde thing, like in My Friend. Liz had not heard My Friend until a few days ago. That was a chestnut I was saving for I don't know what.
Oh, you couldn't have waited so all of us could have seen
My Friend. Here's the thing though. So the 24/7 stream is back now, and it came up on that, and I was like, and we were watching it one night, and I was like, all right, well, I guess now's the time. And I was just like, oh man, I put down whatever I was doing. It was like, this needs your full attention.
That was a mood.
I had forgotten, like, the camera work. The camera work is what makes it visually. It's just so psychotic.
And when you say makes it,
makes it into what?
Yeah.
It makes it into whatever it is. But anyway, she should just do that.
An experience. Mm-hmm. I'm going to just jump in and agree. I think that visually there needs to be some kind of shift to clue you in on that.
Yes, well. Something that makes that it make sense. Really well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Whether a color shift, mm-hmm. a costume change, I don't know. I mean, I agree with you guys as well that there's a chaos to this. This feels like two songs that are kind of plastered together. And sometimes that works and sometimes it just doesn't. Like, between stylistically, the fact that you're admitted into the song before the swap and you're kind of pulled away from it, and thematically, you know, the first half of it is more of a religious kind of theme, and the other half is more of a, you know, "Don't mess with my mother's daughter," which I do really like that line. You know, with so many kind of swaps, and it's hard to really engage, and then the song just ends. Which, granted, this, you know, you're at Eurovision, so you're limited by a 3-minute timeline here. But it just, I feel like this could have been made into two fully fleshed out songs that could have each done Alicia's fantastic vocals justice, but this just kind of got squished together in a way that just kind of too many cooks. I will say it's a better, you know, harness my inner power and you know, my inner strength. It's a better song than a song that we'll talk about later in this episode. But the, you know, we were saying, oh, this isn't like anything that we've heard at Eurovision before. I can't believe I'm saying this. This reminds me of something that Samantha Tina could have done, without the sort of ridiculous tongue-in-cheekness that makes Samantha Tina an enjoyable car crash to watch sometimes.
You know, I hadn't thought about the Queen in maybe years at this point. Thank you for that memory.
She is a composer. I mean, it felt like Samantha Tina without all of the sort of, did that just happen, kind of charm. And it's a shame because, like I said, Alicia Shymplinska's voice is fantastic. And I love hearing a deep, rich, kick-ass alto voice.
Yeah.
She's a better singer than Samantha Tina.
Absolutely.
100%.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. That is a really interesting comparison. Wow.
Yeah.
It's so, possibly unfortunate.
I don't know. Yeah, I know. And I never thought that I would say that I miss Samantha Tina, but that's where I am.
Every day.
Oh.
It's okay. All right. Shall we move on?
I think
we're next masterpiece.
All right. Danny, you get first crack talking about Armenia. Here is a little bit of Paloma Rumba by Simone.
Take my chance to finally dance away from all the anger. Too much sweat, the tears and regrets, cause I don't want to talk about numbers all day long. Paloma Rumba, let's go!
All right, that was a little bit of Paloma Rumba by Simone representing Armenia this year. One of the last songs that we had revealed to us. He was last year's national final runner-up with the song Ay Papare Bay, which won the juries, but did not win the public vote. And he was selected internally this year. A song was written by a veritable pantheon of Armenian familiar names. Lilit Navasardian, who co-wrote Love Wave, Fly With Me. David Sarunian, who often acts as head of delegation, also was part of the songwriting team for Kami Kami. And most notably, most recognizably, Rosa Lynn is also on the songwriting mm-hmm. team for this one. So
doing what? How on earth?
I'm assuming recycling all of her post-it notes from her
stage. Yeah.
All right. But she is not on the stage, just her post-it notes. But Simone will be performing semifinal 2, spot number 6, ensconced between France and Switzerland. Bit of an energy shift.
That's a bit good.
All right. Danny, what are your thoughts on Hayastan this year?
It's hard to resist. It's hard to resist. I'll start with the complaints just because they're few. And they're going to be so Danny. They're going to be so, this isn't even a complaint. I have a, you know what grinds my gears? When a song says rocket and it's not even a rock song. You're not even rocking. Or like, remember when Switzerland or Germany had that song Rock Stars?
Yeah.
Billy Karras, mm-hmm. Yeah, of course.
And like, that wasn't a rock song. What? I don't know. It gets stuck in my craw for absolutely no reason when they're like, rock this. And it's like, yeah, but this is like an electronica dance song. Like this is hardcore. What's going on here? Stop doing that. What else is there to complain about? Sort of like the blatant like neon signing of an impressive moment at the very end when he just decides to go 4,000% speed, which I know it's going to be impressive. I know it is, but it just feels like, all right. And then here for the last 25 seconds of the song, I guess we'll just insert some really impressive fast dancing. Aside from that, Lord, this is funny. I can tell it's being cheeky. I love in the music video how they show him little... little promo stills of Armenian contestants past, including, is that Parg in the front of that envelope?
Oh yeah. That's Parg.
As a big Parg hater, I really love seeing that. It's obvious that he wants to be here and he wants to make sure that, you know, Armenia is doing something fun. I haven't had this much fun listening to something from the Balkans since Yako. This is pretty good. I don't love this song. I think it's competing in the same voting block as Ferto, which I absolutely love. It has those same vibes. I don't consider them copycats of each other. It's just, man, they are hitting that same very, very snarky, high energy, really just a not bombastic, but sort of like hyper-stimulating kind of music. Solid fan of this one. Eric.
I'm in a similar boat as you, Danny, in that I think it is kind of in that same same boat as Ferto. The difference is I like Ferto and I adore this.
Oh, really? Opposite for me, but go on.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, who would have thought that someone in a boardroom some number of months ago had put on the ending of Cleopatra and said, this is where we start.
Well, I mean, if anybody was going to try to one-up Azerbaijan, you know, it would be right. Armenia.
Yes. Yes. Right.
Like Cleopatra.
Why ever would they?
Whatever. Whatever. I have a hard time putting my finger on exactly why I love this as much as I do. But I just, the silliness, the fact that there's a line about how this could have been an email. I mean, lyrically, it's really fun. The dancing is crazy. He has performed this at some pre-parties. This dude can really, really go. His live vocals are impeccable. I just find this to be so much fun, and I love the way that it starts at 10 and just builds from there. I will note the song is about 2.5 minutes, so there's room for something.
Even more
something
dancing.
Even more dancing, even faster something. One moment. Dog is doing dog stuff. Who would have thought? All right. I just find it so fun. And that's all I have to say about it. It's great. It makes me happy. I'm surprised. This is nowhere in the odds. I don't think it's in the odds to qualify right now. And that's insane to me.
That's very hard for me to believe, too.
It's irresistible.
Yeah,
it's just off the wall. Like we got parged. That was pretty aggressive. And this guy shows up and is like, "You call that getting parged? Rock this, Liz. What do you think?
Hold my stapler."
So as I alluded to last week with "Look, Mom, No Computer," this completes our pairing cycle of "I don't want to work. I just want to bang on the drum all day" songs, and I love this. The thing I think this has over Eins, Zwei, Drei, though, is that I think this actually is a cohesive vision, whereas Eins, Zwei, Drei is not. It's doing that song's doing some other interesting stuff, but this one is just in your face, fun. I want to dance to it. I want to pick up the dog. I want to dance with him to it. I want to sing it to the dog. This is great. You know, as you mentioned, the build at the end of this is like, yes, you just, it just kind of makes you want to like do an aggressive scrum. And I do find myself coming back to this and saying, I want to listen to it again and again and again. And I'm not tired of it yet. And I don't think I'll get tired of it. I'm excited to see what they do on the stage. I imagine it will be very similar to some of what they've done at some of the, you know, the pre-parties and such. But either way, like, this is great.
It's going to be a lot of choreo, like intense choreo.
And like, thank God they're speeding up from, you know, towards the last 25 seconds, because if you had to choreo at that speed at the 5 second stamp, boy, you would be gassed by a minute in.
Yeah.
Love it. Sam.
I mean, y'all took so many of my talking points. Whether I place it over Ferto or not really depends on my mood. I think Ferto generally just takes it just a tiny, tiny bit, but I really do still enjoy this. I don't pretend that it's cerebral or smart. It's just fun. It feels good. I mean, I love my job. I adore my job. But who amongst us hasn't had a job at some point where we wake up going, I would much rather be doing literally anything else. And, you know, this is a waste of my time and my talent. I currently love my job. If any of my bosses are listening, I currently love my job. But we've all been in the situation where we would rather just flip the table and just say, rock this, and then have an angry dance party just to exercise your demons on it. It's not cerebral. It's not smart. It's just fun. And it makes me smile whenever I hear it. And sometimes that's all you need. I appreciate the fact that we've never really heard anything like this before in terms of the amount of chaos, the amount of craziness. We've had obviously high energy dance numbers before, but there's something, I don't know if it's the sort of tonality of it that really does put it into that, you know, Caucasus meets far Western Asia, you know, there's almost a Bollywood aspect in some of the choreo. The sound's different from what we normally hear at Eurovision, and it makes me happy to hear it. This is just joy. It's not smart joy, but joy is joy. And I can't wait to see what they do with that extra 28 seconds to bring it up to the 3 minutes.
Confetti cannons, probably.
Oh my God. Post-its everywhere.
My suspicion is they will rock this.
One more time.
Mm-hmm.
Derek?
I never thought in the year 2026 we'd be revisiting the Mike Judge film Office Space from 2000. Again, the references are very apparent. Why are you sitting like that?
Me?
He's afraid you're going to hate it.
Yeah, because I'm afraid you're going to hate it.
You know I'm an Armenia stan. Let's just
All right.
Well, you're just happy that Avita Mukuchyan has a cameo in the video.
I was so disappointed when she didn't start singing.
Yeah.
What are you doing here, lady? Give me the song.
Remind me, is Armenia Chains on You? Is that?
Yes.
That's okay.
Chains on You. It's also Love Wave. She's tried. Avita Mukuchyan has tried.
I know. I've heard his other stuff.
Kami. A different event, but still.
Yeah, still good. I have to point out, I love the fact that Armenia sends weird stuff and they don't follow a traditional structure. They don't always hit 3 minutes. Sometimes they're short and sometimes they do exactly what they need to do and then they get out, and that's what they should be doing. If this is 2:30 and he just is done after 2:30, I'm fine with that. Like, you did what you needed to do and you walked off stage. I saw the live performance of this earlier today, and he is, you think this in studio or as a regular song is high energy. On stage, he's giving it 110%. I mean, he's jumping into the crowd and yelling and just moving. And I think once this gets on stage, it's gonna be a game changer. Whether or not it does end up qualifying, I'm still not sure about, but he's not going to leave anything on the field. It's gonna be 100% all the time from go. And I think that's really exciting. If nothing else, it'll be really fun. I do want to point out Park was not expected to qualify last year, and he did.
True.
Portugal wasn't expected to qualify last year either. I had to double check that one. They were dead last.
Oh yeah.
Qualify, I feel like this is still qualified. Safe. That's my
I feel
thought.
Like it is. I think it's a little strange to compare it to Greece and Farto. I feel like it's more like Viva Moldova. It's just this kind of silly excuse to have a party and have fun. I think the lyrics are less kind of anti-work culture, but sort of meta commentary on work culture, because all the things he says are jokes you make at work. Like, this meeting could have been an email. Free coffee isn't enough to keep me here. You know, stuff like that. It's like the kind of things you'd say when you work in an office, and it's sort of cliche in a way. And he's like turning it into this like high energy dance track. It's so inherently silly in that regard. I absolutely love it. Every time it comes on, I'm just like, yeah, rock this.
Go! Yes.
It's so good.
It's so bananas, and it's so much fun.
My only disappointment, if I can jump back in for a second, about that live performance was wanting to see how crazy he went during the ending part. And at least from the camera angle that I saw, you can't, because he jumped into the crowd. And I assume that's not happening in Vienna for a number of reasons. But
we've had huge dives before.
Yeah,
it's been done at least twice.
How long ago?
Vishlatnyar had one.
Yeah, and Pear in 2013.
Well, in any case,
I don't know which video you saw. The one I saw, he jumps down, but there's like a fence separating the crowd from him, and then he jumps up on the fence, and he's like trying to get the crowd to get into the song too and sing the chorus and all that. And I'm like, geez, dude, I don't know how he's standing after this show, after performing this.
How old is this guy?
He's pretty young, isn't he?
Yeah, I think he's pretty young. One second here.
You're going to tell me he's like 45, and I'll be like, No.
He's 31.
That's okay, honestly even older than I thought. But yeah, that's like your peak years in professional sports.
He's completely jacked. I mean,
yeah.
I was like, oh man, I am a straight man and I'm yummy.
Put that on the soundboard.
And we're done.
That dude is shredded.
Yeah.
All right. We okay to move on to our next song then?
to everyone's favorite song of the
Rock
week.
This.
One more time. All right. Yep, we move over from Armenia to Luxembourg. And here is a little bit of Mother Nature by Ava Maria.
And even when there's thunder, I go back when I wonder, who am I? From the ground to my skin, as I'm howling.
All right, that was a little snippet of Mother Nature, a clipping, if you will, of Mother Nature to be, you know, grafted onto a tree somewhere so it grows into a new orchard. I don't know how this stuff works. Anyway, it's Ava Maria representing Luxembourg. She's now living in London as she studies songwriting at the Institute of Contemporary Music Performance. And she will be in semifinal number 2, spot number 4, sandwiched between Romania and Czechia. Eric?
Yeah.
It's your turn to start us off. What do you think?
I like it. I think that might be an unpopular opinion. I don't know. People seem to have wide ranging opinions. I'm pretty sure Liz doesn't like it. We'll find out in a minute. But until we do, I'll just say I especially like the chorus. It is probably the first Eurovision song that has really reminded me of Kate Bush, particularly in the chorus. And I like Kate Bush, so I don't know. There you go. I find it pleasant. I really like the violin work towards the end. It's more technical than like Finland's is. Very different vibes we're going for. So like that's not meant as a dig on Finland exactly. But I find the song really pleasant, and I think it's going to do all right. Luxembourg is 2 for 2 in its current era, and I think 3 for 3 is well within reach, despite whatever the odds say, which I imagine are the opposite of that. I'm actually not sure. Where is this at in its semi in terms of like odds to qualify?
I do not have that with me. Who's the one of us who, Derek, you're normally the one who has kind of his finger on the pulse of the odds.
Sorry, I was just looking away.
He's pulling it up.
Yeah, I got it here.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's 14th.
Yeah.
14 out of 50.
Ooh, yeah, it's
just after Switzerland and Armenia.
Oh, come on.
Oh,
yeah, go for
it. It is semi two, and there are going to be some really good things that don't qualify in semi two. I don't know, but I like it. I like it. Liz, why don't you like it?
Look, I don't even hate this. I think I'm just tired by it. Thematically, I don't really even think I have a complaint there because I love the idea of reconnecting with nature as a way to ground yourself. Like that. I like that idea. I think maybe, and you know, I listened to this after the national final, and then I've revisited it again this weekend. I found myself not disliking it as much as I initially had because I think I saw like doe-eyed hippie dippy girl, and I was like, ugh, not again. And I don't know. I'm not offended by the content. She sings it perfectly fine. The violin playing, cool. I don't know. It just doesn't grab me for some reason. It's not offensive to me in any way, but this is not one that I revisit wanting to listen to. This is no Paloma Rumba for me. But what really could be? It's fine. I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's there. I don't think it's going to qualify.
I find this sweet, pleasant. Pleasant plus is something that we used to say during my preview parties. When people said, you know, it was nice. There's a little something more to it than just, you know, giving it a 5. It's a pleasant plus. I feel like this occupies the same ecological niche in the biosphere of Eurovision as Only Teardrops did. Not to say that this would do what Only Teardrops did, but I'm just saying the sort of floaty, you know, pretty barefoot girl in the diaphanous dress, a little instrumental hook somewhere, whether it was the, you know, the tin whistle or in this case, the violin or the fiddle, however you would like to say it. It's sweet. I immediately glommed onto the chorus. I saw, you know, I found it memorable. When I was kind of jotting down my notes and I was like, okay, this feels very Only Teardrops. But Only Teardrops was 13 years ago at this point. And I started writing it, made it feel dated, but it doesn't necessarily feel dated. It feels more like overly familiar to me. Like it's pleasant, it's nice, but this is something that doesn't break any new ground. And I'm happy it's here. I think that it's not going to offend anybody. I think that it will find its fans, but I think it's going to be overshadowed. But I still think it's super cute. And yeah, like Liz was saying, like the message of using nature as your escape to kind of rediscover yourself and ground yourself, like you were saying. I think it's actually really quite nice. It's pleasant plus. Derek?
I actually like this one. I don't have high hopes for it, but I think it's hard to say follow up well that because you kind of covered everything. But yeah, my initial thought was hippy dippy do I girl. But nobody's mentioned this yet. It reminds me a lot of Florence and the Machine, but a little bit less edge to it. I feel like Florence is a little bit more harder, maybe a little bit more industrial or rock at times. And this feels very light, very safe. I mean, there's a real warmth to it. My biggest hang up on this is lyrically, I get it. I think it's an interesting concept, connecting with nature and rediscovering yourself and kind of letting go of all the things that ail you. But at the same time, I wish the lyrics were a little bit more interesting. I wish you had more to say. It feels a little too simple to say, like, I go out into nature, I tilt my head back and hey, everything's fine. I'm like, you know, what else can we do with this? Where can we go with this? That said, when it comes on, I really enjoy it. It feels it has that comforting feel to it, like a blanket. You just kind of wrap around yourself for a few minutes and you just feel better. I don't know. I honestly think this is better than the first thing Luxembourg sent a couple of years ago.
Fighter.
But I...
Mm-hmm. Fighter, oh, yeah. That's right.
Fighter. Oh, that song was trash. So, and that had a lot more traction than this, which I don't get, but...
I think at that point, we also had the excitement of Luxembourg returning.
Yeah, I get that. I feel like that the sheen has worn off and now they're like, you got to do something, people. I'm not just going to give you a pass anymore. I worry about this one. Yeah, Pleasant Plus is a good ranking for it, which I guess is like a 7.5 out of 10, which, you know, not stellar, but, you know, not bad. And I think, when time comes to vote, people are going to just forget about it.
Danny?
I feel like this year, the harshest insult I can levy on a song is that it sounds like it's meant for a TV commercial. That's how I felt about Italy, and that's how I feel about this song. I hate these lyrics. I think these lyrics are such placeholder. It's like there's a song that has universal appeal, but honestly, when a song is good and has universal appeal, it's because it's coming from a specific perspective that other people can sympathize with. This is baby food. This is French fries. These lyrics are just like, wow, let it out, let it in. Aren't we all connected to nature? Isn't that beautiful? It feels very kiddish. It feels, I don't know, if you would have given this to someone at Junior Eurovision, I would have said, hey, that's kind of a step in the right direction for Junior Eurovision. But this doesn't feel intelligent at all. And I don't like it. It feels so designed to appeal to a lot of people, to have a kind of liberating, God, doesn't your Subaru Outback allow you to get in touch with the landscape beyond your front door? That's what it feels like to me.
Subaru owner, I resemble that remark.
I don't think they came across this as cynical, but that is just the vibe that I get. It's like in a contest that has a lot of satire this year, a contest that has a lot of like unapologetically let's dance, a contest that has a ballad about the horrors of an alcoholic family member, this feels so just that. It just feels so just kind of heavy sigh, licensable, inoffensive. And I mean that derogatorily. That's all.
Ask your doctor if Luxembourg is right for you.
Honestly, yeah.
You can't afford it.
Not in this country, anyway. Yeah. All right. Sounds like we've all said our piece then.
Yeah.
All right, as we move on to the first song selected for the 2026 Eurovision, this is Albania. They are first alphabetically as well as first chronologically in the Eurovision calendar. Coming hot and fresh out of Festival e Këngës, this is None by Alice, representing Albania. All right, that was Nan, or Mother, by Alice, representing Albania this year. Just like last year's Albanian representatives, Alice is from Shkodër, the city by the sea, that also gave us Schroeder Electronica. He was the winner of the fifth series of the X Factor in Albania and mentored by Arilena Ara, who was supposed to represent Albania at Eurovision 2020. I see a theme going on here. Alice also took third place in 2024's Festival de Cungas, which would have been the contest that would have sent him to Eurovision 2025. You know how this stuff works. Anyway, he is going to be performing in semifinal number 2, spot 13, sandwiched between the United Kingdom and Malta. Liz, what are your thoughts on Albania?
Boy, do I love this. I've loved it since it was picked. And I Sam, I think you were out at dinner while I was watching the end of FICMAS and we're going, don't F this up, Albania. Come on. So I have talked, I think, in some previous shows about losing my mother almost 10 years ago now. And this gets me right in the feels. For those of you who may not have read an English translation of the song, the refrain, the chorus kind of repeats the theme. Know that your mom is waiting for you and your mom is sending you off. Mom stands there at the doorway 2 weeks, 2 years. The summer is gone. And I think obviously working through, you know, the loss of a mother, the loss of that warmth and that connection. And I feel like as I watch the performance of this, and he's always phenomenal live. He was great at FICMAS. He's been great at other live performances he's done. No concerns about that performance. I think we'll probably get something staging-wise very similar to what we got at Festival de Cungas. But I just think the choral backing to this is so haunting that I think it gives you that sense of longing and the wish that you could just be in your mother's arms again. And so I love this. It's, you know, he captures the drama as a performer. He's, and I assume they'll probably keep this, but wearing all black with gloves and jewelry on the fingers, but like kind of, he's not exactly a blank slate, but he has this kind of feeling. He's been wearing sunglasses while he's performing, but like you don't see his eyes to connect with as he's performing. So all you get is this really haunting, dramatic, powerful vocal. And I think that's cool in an artistic way. So I'm all about this. Sam?
I'm there with you. I mean, I honestly, this song almost made me worry in the same way that I worried last year, in the fact that when the first song out the gate, like I said, this is the first song selected for this year, when the first song out of the gate is something this strong, and something I loved so much, so immediately, you have two fears. One, are they going to screw it up in a revamp? And luckily the answer was no this year. And two, am I going to feel like this is a weak year because everything else will pale in comparison? That kind of happened to me last year. Less so this year. We'll talk about that later. But this song shreds me in the best possible way. Like vocally, the composition of it, the artistry, the decision to subtitle the official music video for this was brilliant. Because, I mean, granted, you know, what percentage of people who watch Eurovision on the final, and this better freaking make the final or else I'm going to flip all of the tables in the press center. People coming into this understand what this is trying to say. And it's not just about somebody losing their mother. It's also about their mother, you know, the mother figure relinquishing their children. And it's Ali singing from the point of view of the mother. It could be an immigration story. It could be an empty nest. It could be the loss of a child. There's a separation between the generations, and it's heart-wrenching. Honestly, it's kind of telling the same or a similar story to Rim Tim Toggy Dim, but just in a completely different way, if you really think about it.
I had that impulse, too. I had that thought, too.
Yeah. I cannot wait to see how this develops on stage. Because knowing how beautiful and artistic the music video was, I know that they're going to make something absolutely beautiful on the main stage at Eurovision. And it's really hard for me to keep a dry eye while listening to this. It's really, really good. Really, really good. Derek?
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't care for it.
Okay.
I find it a little, for me personally, I wholly acknowledge that it's big, emotional tribute to mothers and motherhood and loss to a degree, but a connection that exists even when separated and all that. And yet, listen to it, and I feel like I'm barred from entry into whatever this is. And it's not because I have any animosity toward my mother. I love her dearly, but I just don't feel it like I would another song. And there have been other songs that have that same big sweeping emotional pull, and I do get it. And then there are others that I don't. And this is in the latter category. I can't explain why this doesn't work for me. And yet I do see the value in it. I recognize that it is a good song and it's well sung and he has the sincerest intentions and the lyrics are actually very good. Coming off of Luxembourg, there is real thought and care put into what he's saying.
God, yes. God, yes.
That I have to, I acknowledge. I think he did a fantastic job. And yet this just doesn't work for me. Maybe I'm a little hung up on the fact that it sounds like a prayer or...
and I can't
get that out of my head every time I listen to it. Or maybe, you know, I'm just not the right person for this. I'm not going to deprive anybody their love of this. I mean, clearly it works. I mean, it's a good song. It's a good song that I just am not the audience for. Danny?
It is a good song. I'm also not in love with it, but I feel like I fell into that trap with Albania last year. And I really like Zyrm now. Maybe it is that it will just have to sit with me. I have to agree with Derek 100% that these lyrics are refreshingly original and refreshingly sincere. They just work. I don't know how much of use to our listeners it'll take, or how much use it will be for me to just belabor and to debate with myself why it's not exactly working. So I'll just say one thing that I appreciate probably more than any single element of a song in Eurovision in recent memory, which is that if you extend the metaphor of the lyrics in this song, which is that your mother is waiting for you, the idea is that your mother is dead. There is this very like American or Western European way of being like, well, your loved ones are looking down from you in heaven and they're trying to make sure that you're okay. And I love that the sentiment of this song is that your mother is waiting for you. That is, you will join her one day, which is that there's a very like not morbid, but just like this is the fact of things. She is dead and you will die one day. I love that there is a not rose-tinted look back at the things that your mother did for you here. That it is very realistic and it is very, I don't know, there is something very beguiling, very not exactly haunting, but something just sort of, there's something much meatier going on here than in other European past that have been about my mommy. I really appreciate that. Put more lyrics about the inevitability of death and the fact that we will all be dirt and worms one day. Do that, please. Go, Eric.
Not if you're cremated. Anyway, yeah, this is a very good song. It is the sort of song that I just have a difficult time getting into. So I don't have a ton to add. I kind of agree with Danny and Derek on that. Maybe it's just if you're a dude, you have no feelings. And and so this song doesn't work on you or something. But I... As Liz alluded to, obviously I never got a chance to meet the woman who is now my mother-in-law. And unless you count a picnic in a cemetery outside of Broken Bow, Nebraska, which was very nice. But I don't know her. I hope that maybe in another life I will get the chance because I know the type of person she raised. And so my appreciation for the song is really great. Because of that and because of what it means to Liz. And like, we're already married. So like, this isn't, I don't need to.
He doesn't have to suck up to me anymore.
No.
That doesn't hurt.
I acknowledge how good the song is. It isn't quite for me, but my goodness, I hope that message comes across. Sam, I'm glad you mentioned the subtitles in the music video because I think that if, for a song like this, it's really important for that information to be available to people who are willing to take it in and get a better appreciation of the song. Are you going to do that on stage here?
I mean, now that we know that Italy last year subtitled their performance, like that is now a precedent that's been set. It would not shock me if we start to see other countries that send songs not in English to subtitle.
In Corpersano, let's not forget.
Oh, of course, Corpersano
did a little bit too.
In Corpersano walked, so Italy could run.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, technically, Non mi avete fatto niente also kind of did it, but they did it in all of the languages.
Yeah. And I wonder if something like that song did, would work well for this, as opposed to just sad lyrics at the bottom the whole time. Like have it a more immersive experience, I think would maybe do well for a song like this. But I would be curious about that. Otherwise, you know, people have just put a picture of themselves with their mom on the screen right at the end. And people are like, oh, it was sad.
It's about mommy. Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see. I think this will, I feel like Albania always overperforms.
Go on. Looking at the scoreboard from last year, I will argue with you, but go on.
Well, they got through handily, you know?
Last year, notwithstanding, because I think that was a different situation, they came in that they were a favorite. And okay, compared to that, yeah, they did underperform. A number of things underperformed last year for, you know, it could be any reason. But I feel like I've seen a lot of instances in the last decade where I thought they were borderline qualifiers and then ended up doing far better, not like amazingly well, but quite a bit better than that. And that's what I'm trying to say is I think it, in terms of qualification, I think Albania does better than we expect. It is, I think, 10th in that semis odds right now. But I don't think it's going to finish 10th. I think it'll do better.
I mean, like, think about Family Kelmendi. I didn't think that was going to qualify.
That's a good example. Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair. You know, Kateo Tolkis, you know, a lot of people truly loved it, but it flew under the radar for a lot of other folks. So,
Thinking about it even more, I mean, Secret kind of did the opposite. So,
yeah.
There were reasons for that. Yeah. But yeah, well, let's move on.
Let's move on from Albania to a song that we have expressed no opinions on at the show. Here Comes Germany, Fire by Sarah Engels. I'm on fire, fire. All right. So that was a little bit of Fire by Sarah Engels, representing Germany this year. She was the runner-up on the 8th series of basically Germany's version of Idols, Deutschland sucht den Superstar. She's released 6 albums since then. Fun fact, after the cancellation of Eurovision 2020, she took part in a German domestic created contest called the Free European Song Contest on behalf of Italy, where she has family roots. She came in 13th out of 16 entrants. This is an automatic finalist, as we know Germany is. So spot in the final running order is TBD. We've touched on this one before. I feel like this has been done better by so many other songs and countries, and it breaks my heart to see Germany, which was a country that was sort of beginning to kind of crawl out of the muck and the mire, kind of fall back into the vanilla. And, you know, I keep saying I love it when a song pushes boundaries, pushes the envelope, does something different and revolutionary. And this doesn't do any of that. I mean, the attempt to do something a little bit different, the structure of the song, starting with a bit of the chorus and then going into, maybe that's a little bit of an attempt to do something a little different. But even that just feels mismatched and clunky. This feels not even, I mean, vanilla. Vanilla has its place in the world. You could put that on a really good slice of pie and be perfectly happy. I don't want this anywhere near my pie. I said what I said. Anyway, Germany, you know, obviously English is not the first language there. Obviously, so many people do speak English in Germany. And the repeated line, like a vampire, you hide and come out the night. That could have been edited so differently.
At night.
You
come out the night. Like a vampire, you hide and come out the night. No, you
ask a native speaker.
I guess prepositions are hard. I get it. I understand. English is not the easiest language. However, come on. If you're... Derek, just take this off of my hands here.
I think we have here is just a really solid dance song. You know, it's leaning into the tropes, but I think it's doing it in a really effective way. I, you know, maybe it could just come up the middle. It doesn't have to win the jury and the televote. You know, I could see this winning, actually. And that's how I feel when you guys talk about Sweden.
Not me this year.
I don't absolutely hate it. Like, I know a couple of you will. And when I say I don't hate it, I mean, I don't like it. I don't think it's good. But it's just, it's nothing. It's, there's just nothing here that when it's over, I forget about it immediately. When I see it listed in anything, I just don't even think about it. It's like it doesn't exist. Like some weird phantom song that people talk about, but I'm just like, which one? Who? I mean, there's nothing original or interesting about this. I mean, I think she's putting in the effort and there's some good choreography, I guess, in the live performance. I mean, you know, she's making an effort. And I have to give her some credit for that. But this song, I mean, that's just, it's sort of bananas. There are a few songs this year that if you told me they were written by AI, I'd be like, yeah, yeah, I see that. You fed Fuego and Firefighter and a couple of others into the machine and this spat out. Even Firefighter, I don't think was particularly striking or original or any of that. But this just somehow feels even less than that. I don't know what Germany was thinking because they were doing pretty well. They had a couple good years in a row. I thought they were getting a footing at least. And, you know, they're coming mid-table, which I sort of feel like, yeah, that's a good place to be. And, you know, you're getting a little bit more goodwill and people are kind of excited to see what Germany's going to do next. And now this comes out and it's just like, what were we doing? What were we thinking? Giving you points. But then again, I don't hate it. It's just nothing. There's just nothing there. And that's somehow worse. It's sort of like what Danny said. There's good and then there's awful, and you can enjoy the awful for just how awful it is. And yet this is right in that sweet spot, that uncanny valley where it's just like, all right, like I feel nothing when I listen to this. The one thing I'll point out that perplexes me to no end, this isn't that low in the betting odds, even for Germany. It's 22nd, which I'm like, really? And we were discussing before the show, like there's a lot of YouTubers who put together these rankings. This one was consistently in the top 10 for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I don't know where that sentiment is coming from or why people are getting into this. Maybe they don't speak English as well and they just kind of don't care and it sounds good and she's pretty and whatever. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't do as badly. I don't think the jury's going to give it anything. It might do an okay televote, but who knows? Danny.
I think I know why it's in the top 10. It's because people are stupid and love things that suck. And it's just that easy. It's just that easy. People are out there with YouTube accounts and they are stupid and have no brains. And the good thing about living in 2026 is that there's a lot of music being made for people who are stupid and have no brains. And this is one of them. God, I love this song. I loved Germany last year.
What is happening right now?
Stay with me. I loved Germany last year because Bala is that is so
good.
Legitimately so much fun.
So good.
Such an original thing to bring to ESC with just like that very cool semi-detached like vocal style that we expect, not just from techno music, but just from like German techno music. Absolutely love that. Really fit into like a cultural type that we have for Germany, but in a great way. I love this song. It sucks so much in a very, very fun way. What if I told you that Germany thought they were really going to win by sending a Demi Lovato track from 2011 that peaked at number 50 on the Billboard charts? Like, that's what this sounds like. It is so mushy and stupid and like a Bebe Rexha reject song. I can't believe that they're really like, oh, we're gonna have a chorus where she says we're gonna rhyme fire with liar. That's fantastic. There, put that down. Write that down. Okay, then we're gonna say stop denying, nyan, no lion, no mo. Oh, it's gonna be so good. And then she's gonna get down. It's gonna be like when Israel did Unicorn, and she's just gonna whip her hair around. It's gonna be fantastic. Cut. Send it. Print it. God, this sucks. It is so fun to see how good they think this song is. What a pop, what an American style pop number we think we have here. And it is not good. And I love it. And I love it. God, ironically, I mean that ironically, I love how much I hate it. This is, there's a lot to chew through how much this sucks. Go, Eric.
Well,
it's the moment you've all been waiting for.
Yeah.
When
this came out, is this just like an inside joke that this is the worst song of the year and you guys can't hold back?
I was not able to hold back when this won its national final.
Okay.
That's right. This won a national final.
Oh my, this wasn't even just a selection. This really won.
So even
Germany is full of people with no brains who suck. I love it.
All right, to be fair,
we're all united by music. We truly are.
To be fair, She's a known quantity in Germany. People know who she
just
is.
Just like with Australia. Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. I mean, fine. So I mean, there've been, I've been scrolling through YouTube and this show, Schlagenstar, like comes up a lot for some odd reason, because I watch a lot of really random stuff on YouTube, and they take German celebrities facing off each other and doing really stupid challenges, not quite Taskmaster stupid, but like all sorts of, like, you know, we'll put them in a gyroscope and they have to throw ping pong balls into a thing, like things like that. And I've seen her on that. So she has enough of a celebrity cachet that they make her throw things at things.
She's panel show famous.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Listen, here we go.
Yeah, I'm surprised this isn't the UK's strategy.
Not this year. Wait till next year.
Yeah. David Mitchell in 27. I'm really
sure. I was going to say, can't wait for Joe Lycett to be on the Eurovision stage. Yeah.
I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah. All right. Everyone shut up. I'm about to
shred this song.
Yeah. So listen, I think it is fair and reasonable and rational to question the integrity of any national final or contest in which this song can win.
Just any contest.
Yeah. I've talked on the show a lot about how, like, really awful songs are better than really boring songs, because there's fun in the awfulness. I learned there's a third thing, and it's worse than either of them, and that is a song that is insulting. That's what this song is to me. I feel like there is okay, the song is awful. Let's get that out of the way. The lyrics are awful. The live performance, bad. Dancing, pointless. Whatever. It has been done infinitely better by an infinite number of countries. This is the Eurovision Song Contest. This is being watched by 200 million people historically. We'll see about this year. Look, not every song is the code. Not every song is like this big artistic statement, okay? But this is something that says nothing. It says nothing. It does nothing. It has no new ideas. It has barely any old idea. I guess there's one. It's Remember Fuego.
It's not even Fuego. It really is. Like,
remember the songs that ripped off Fuego?
Yeah, some of them
were pretty good.
Literal replay, yes.
Yeah.
Diablo, go back to
There's so many Fuegos in 2019, and I understand why. There will be no Fires ripoffs in 2027, because there can't be. There's nothing to take from this. We talk about cotton candy. This is cotton candy that's watered down in like backwash or something. It's insulting. It's insulting that you have this opportunity as a country, as a broadcaster, to represent who you are and to show off the artistry of your country. I understand, honestly, not everything is going to be universal for everyone. But again, this is for no one. It is nothing. I hate it so much. And it's not just because the song is bad. It's because it has the idea of appealing to, it takes this idea of appealing to the most people, which is what like Sweden does and a few other countries sometimes do with this opportunity that you have once a year, and you're serving nothing. Like, I understand why people don't like Sweden, that it's just kind of cookie cutter and formulaic or whatever. I like the song from Sweden this year because I think there are exciting things about it. I think there are interesting things about it. This is nothing. It is an empty void. Liz, what do you think?
Oh, well, a number of you have mentioned Fuego, and I think calling this a Fuego is an insult to Fuego.
Truly, truly, yeah.
And as you mentioned, Eric, her live performance is real pitchy. I don't know if she's going to be able to hold that together. And good thing it doesn't have to qualify, because I think if it did, it would not. I think mood-wise, the thing this reminds me most of is Poland from a couple years ago, our Bejba song. Because that was just so like, whatever, you know, like it's trying to be kind of a dancey song, kind of a, you know, summer sweltering hot thing, but just falls flat. Interestingly, the thing that makes me angriest about this song isn't anything that any of you have said. It's that her dance break choreography specifically rips off about half of Slow Mo's choreography. And as the resident Chanel stan here.
That's definitely what I'm thinking of, too. Yeah, it's not even Unicorn. It's Slow Mo.
No, is a solid 10-second sequence that is straight from Chanel's choreography. And as also a Kyle Hanagami stan who choreographed Chanel's staging, that makes me cranky because he's really good.
I mean, that's straight up plagiarism.
I mean, yeah, if there's a word for choreography, plagiarism, is it just plagiarism?
Plagiarism. Yes.
I mean, we don't know that that's going to be the choreography that they'll use in Vienna, but.
But she did it in the national final and it's in the video. So.
Right.
So that made me real cranky. The song is, it is bad for all of the reasons that everyone else has said. I think it's held together by scotch tape, cello tape for you UK folks, gyrations and pyrotechnics. And, you know, wave that at the camera. Oh, it's shiny. Look, it's shiny. Maybe that's enough for 3 minutes for some people, but it's not for me. And I don't think it is for most of us.
I thought of another point. I'm tapping back in. Listen, Germany getting in the days where you could basically get relegated, right? That was how they kept the number of countries down. Germany getting relegated is the reason we have a Big Four/Big Five, because it was determined that, like, well, we just can't have a contest without Germany in it. They're too important. Germany, you're too important. You know better than this.
Do better.
Respect the contest.
You could, like, at least send Lord of the Lost. You could at least send a something that is quality but isn't going to do jack at the contest. Mm-hmm.
We could have had Wavy Boy.
Wavy Boy would have been awesome.
And Luxembourg, Liechtenstein representation.
Yeah.
I think I'm most pissed off about that, frankly.
I mean, bring back Gendrick, for the love of God.
Yeah, just anything.
Our resident Gendrick defender, too. Yeah.
This is...
Cleanse the palate, move on. All right. We're going to cross the border. We're going to head due north from Germany over to Denmark with our last song of the show. This is Får Vi Gå Hjem, Before We Go Home, by Solvent Tilpegard-Lund. Here's a snippet. All right, that was Får Vi Gå Hjem by Solvent Tilpegard-Lund, representing Denmark this year. He is a graduate of the Danish National School of Performing Arts, supposedly the youngest student the Academy had ever accepted up to that point. Since then, he's performing in musicals across Denmark, like West Side Story, Kinky Boots, having lead roles in both. Participated in the Danish national final back in 2023, did not make the super final that year, but he has clinched his chance to represent his home country this year. He is in semifinal 2, spot number 10, between Latvia and Australia. Derek, what do you think?
I'm going to start with a bit of a hot take on this one. This is the best thing that I'm aware Denmark has ever sent. At least in the last decade, probably much further.
Ben and Tan, now's your time.
Ben and Tan was good, but since that contest didn't actually happen, I'm not going to count that one. I'm just going to say, for as long as I've been following this contest, I've never liked Denmark. I've never liked anything they sent. It's always schmaltzy and silly, too sentimental, even Only Teardrops. I kind of get why that won, but at the same time, I'm sort of like, it's a little annoying. And this one feels really artsy and really well thought out. And I can understand why he got into that art school at a young age, because this guy is talented and he knows what he's doing, and it feels so assured and confident in what it's putting together here. And the staging is a little odd. I'm gonna say it doesn't quite fit the tone of the song itself. It has this sort of weird,
you don't like hot boxing in your neighbor's greenhouse, you don't like, you don't like
that is to me, well, it has a William Friedkin interior leather bar sort of thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Which, okay, fine, whatever. It's not as, like, edgy as sort of the staging would kind of make you think. My only complaint about this song is the lyrics. I feel like this is very much paint by numbers. I met someone at the club and now I'm infatuated and I don't want this night to end. And I'm just like, okay, great. Yeah, we're doing that again. And
you can't get him out of his system.
God, oh, Jesus Christ, we're doing this again. That was a more of a breakup song. And it's just, you know, we get a lot. There's like these cookie cutter songs that we get every year. It's like, oh, we broke up and I'm sad, or we broke up and I'm angry, or I fell in love with somebody I just met at the club. And all right, yeah, whatever. It's not really breaking any ground there, I think. When I looked at the translation, the fact that it's in Danish, though, I think was a really smart move, because I did not know what he was saying at first. And I was like, this song is brilliant. I love every second of it. It's currently second in the betting odds. Do I think this could win? I don't think so. I don't know if the jury's going to be as behind this as they need it to be. I bet you the televote will be into it. So this is definitely going to be their best result. I don't think they've done well since 2018, where they came ninth.
Yeah, they did.
Which I think was a bit overrated on that song even. But this is quality. This is really, really good. Danny.
I love everything about the song, and I hate everything about the staging. I think they need to change absolutely everything about the staging. What is this dancing? Why are they in this plastic cage of emotion? Why is he climbing on top of it, and there's just like weird like Windows Media Player visualizations behind him? Why is he styled the way that he is? Why is he, we're ripping the t-shirt off, but he has mesh underneath. I understand the Heated Rivalry Boys made mesh very cool right now, but it just feels incorrect for that. I love the music. I love the music, and I really like the lyrics. I'm fine with a pop song being tropey, as long as it's really going for it and really feeling different. And I feel like this feels different. I love that contrast between the way that the pre-chorus has this sort of like rising optimistic feel, but then it gets really dour for the chorus. It like gets right back into this very desolate like chord progression. I really like that. I think that it is a touch overproduced. I could do with a little bit less banging snare drums that sound like they were recorded in a cave. I could do a little bit less than that. It really feels like they're like, okay, and then let's push the epic button on the drum machine. Let's do that one. That's kind of what it feels like. That's a minor sin. It's just something that is not to my general taste. I agree with you, Derek. This is some really good Denmark stuff. Remember when we had that little twink from the Faroe Islands singing a stupid K-pop song?
Like Riley.
Like, Riley. Yeah. That's got it. Remember when he was breaking our heart and he was just singing through a vocoder? The depths to which Denmark has really remember, what is it? Ova Posenanden. Let's practice on each other. Remember that one? That's some real dreck coming from Denmark. I'm glad to see
that one's grown on me over the years.
Yeah.
That
oh,
one's,
no.
Yeah. It's oh, like yeah. a, like a no. mold. It's grown
I was
on
really
me.
Rooting for that one by the time it actually came out.
I hate that song.
Okay. It takes all kinds, you know?
This feels like, what if Looktelk had a shot? That's kind of how this feels. Love that. Mm. And that is being very complimentary to both Looktelk and this song. Take it, Eric.
I mean, it's really good. This is Juilliard level talent in this kid.
Yeah.
Some of these high notes with just such precision and such confidence. I mean, there's hitting a high note, and there's just like just having a high note, and he just has it. There's no will, he won't, he. There's no anything like that. He's just got it. He makes some of these things just seem effortless. I go back and forth on the staging because I do think it's cool. I also think about Ollie Alexander, and like this is a relatively sanitized box, whereas Ollie's was anything but that. But it just, I don't know, I can't help but think about Dizzy and how it was staged and how it just really didn't connect. But I mean, they're not exactly the same. This is a little more interesting than that. I want to point out, speaking of plagiarism, not really. There's a moment about a minute 15 in.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
The second verse, there's a little like instrumental hit of something, and I swear it's the intro of Tattoo.
I was gonna, yeah.
Oh,
I
heard that. Yeah.
Yes. There's a thing in there, and I think it's only the one time, but that's the intro to Tattoo. Like, what are you doing here?
like Boy George, what are you doing here?
I sure. Don't. If he releases this saying featuring Loreen, I'll be like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, I think it's really good. The tattoo thing isn't a complaint. I just think it's curious. Obviously, it's not as much a wholesale lifting as what Liz was saying about the dancing in the country that we will not talk about. I think it can win. I mean, I look at the path that Nemo took and I look at the path that JJ took, and I could see this basically fitting kind of that same mold. It's maybe a tougher sell on the jury side, but I mean, just listen to him sing.
Oh, but who is the jury going to lob all of their points onto?
I mean, France? I think it's going to be this. It's going to be this in France. A bunch of folks.
You guys are forgetting that the juries are, one, larger, and two, mandated to have two people who are younger.
Yeah, juries are getting younger. So there's that too. And I bet that also means the juries will, on average, be a little bit gayer. And you know what? Not insignificant. Kind of works in this song's favor, if I'm being honest. So
you're saying that the juries are going to let San Marino qualify?
That is not what I'm saying. Okay. They still have to have taste. Liz, what do you think?
Glad you mentioned Ollie Alexander, because what I thought in my head when I was watching this was, this is Ollie Alexander light. Like, if Ollie was like turning the gay up to like 15, this is like an 8.5, right? Much, like you said, much more sanitized and like club gay, but not like smutty club gay, right? Like, you don't feel like you need a shower after you watch this. I think like the thing that I really appreciate about this, in addition to him really being able to sing, perform it well, it's engaging. He's a sparkling performer, literally and metaphorically. But I appreciate that the song shape has a very clear, like, exposition, climax, denouement. Like, it, the shape of it is very pop and it's very comfortable. And I like that. Something I can grasp onto in a contest where some of our pop songs just don't have it. I really like this. And I agree. I think I don't remember which one of you said, like, I'm glad this is in Danish. But I agree, because I don't want to hear these lyrics in English. I don't care. Just like, I like the rhythm, the patter. And you can tell he's got kind of a musical theater sort of background too, because he's got that, it's a little something extra. In the performance, and I really like it. I would not be mad if this won either. Best of luck to it.
So I feel like Danish songs, by and large, over the last 20 years plus, have generally ranged from milquetoast to, well, that was pleasant, with just a couple of exceptions. Rasmussen being up there, Sissel, some people would argue. I cannot believe that this has come from the same country. Like, it is shocking to me that this is Danish. And I'm like, where has this been? Where has this fire and this creativity and this oomph, where has this been? Have they just been saving up their oomph credits over the past couple of decades and have just invested them all in Soren? Because, like, oh my God, it's money well spent. That is oomph, very well spent. Vocals, I think, are spectacular. The way that it goes from the sort of delicate in that sort of pre-chorus setup to that belt at the very end, I think is spectacular. I think the showmanship, he's, you could tell that he's theatrical, but it's with this club vibe, and it doesn't, one doesn't cancel out the other. It's not like a club kid singing show tunes. It's not like a theater kid at the club. It works really, really well, somehow melding them both and making it feel not forced. I think that the staging, you know, it's going to, you know, in this current iteration that we've seen in the video, it's going to naturally come with dizzy comparisons in that sort of gyrating dancers in a sort of sweaty feel. But it feels like a night at the club. And it's been, you know, granted, it's been a long ass time since I've been at the club, but it's like, it feels like that heat and that humidity and that steam that just kind of rises from so many people in a space together. And then in that pre-chorus, it's like a breath of fresh air as you poke your head outside to have a conversation with somebody. It feels very evocative to me. Derek, you said that this is probably the best song that you've been hearing from Denmark since you've basically been covering the contest. I'm going to stick my neck out and say this is the best thing that they have sent since Dansevis, since 1963. Like, this is spectacular. This is everything. For so many years, I mean, listen to old episodes of the show as we go over Danish songs, and I'm sure you will hear me complain about how completely vanilla and safe so many Danish songs have been. And this just wipes the slate clean. And I am so happy that it is here. This is unabashedly my number one for the year.
Spoilers.
I mean, a lot can happen in the next week. He could be shown, you know, we could see a video of him on social media kicking a puppy. I don't know. A lot can happen. However.
Oh, John Wick's going to be pissed.
Yeah, I know. I know. But yeah, this is absolutely spectacular. Whether it can win, I could see a path for it. I mean, in the same way that I could see so many people kind of over-egging Finland, I could see a path for this.
For sure.
And I would be more than happy to go back to Copenhagen. I hope Copenhagen.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I hope so too.
Yeah.
Coolest
city. Don't put it in that box again.
No, do not put us back on Eurovision Island. It was a great venue. However, it was in the middle of nowhere. I spent more time on that bus going from my lodging to the arena than I did basically at the arena. I spent like a full 24 hours of my life on the shuttle bus.
That sucks.
It was awful.
I'd probably just stop going. Get some more of the national dish of Denmark.
Oh,
that roast pork thing.
The meat thing.
The crispy pork with the gravy God. And the, oh.
A Danish hot dog. Really, really good. Like almost as good as an Icelandic, but like a hotpulsa. Yeah, I do that.
All right. Take us home, Sam. Let's talk about how I hate Germany again.
Yeah. I mean, you know how this, these shows end. We start at the bottom, end at a high note. And just as a reminder, today we talked about Poland, Armenia, Luxembourg, Albania, Germany, and Denmark. Derek, what was your least favorite of this episode?
I almost forgot we talked about Germany, honestly. I'm going to go with Germany.
Can you believe I'm going to say Luxembourg? I just love hating Germany so much. I don't love hating Luxembourg so much. I'm saying Luxembourg.
Let's not take that away from him.
You can't. No.
Eric, it's Armenia, Germany. Right?
Germany for you. Germany for me. Sam.
Germany for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Derek, let's end it on a high note. What was your favorite this week?
Oh, some good ones to pick from, but I'm going to go with Armenia.
Danny?
Yeah. Close. Not absolutely in love with anything here. Maybe that'll change over the next couple weeks. I'm going to say Denmark. I'll say Denmark.
Eric?
Feels wild that I'm not going to say Denmark, but it's Armenia for me.
And I am so, so torn over here, but I'm going with Albania. With a big old hug to Armenia over there.
Put it
in another week, and Armenia is in my top slot.
And for me, it's Denmark with a very close second to Albania this week.
Yeah, not I don't think any runaways with any of us, unless it was for you, Derek.
No, Denmark was close second.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that concludes our rundown of this year's songs. And next week we will reconvene, go over our tops for the year. Also, if you have sent in your score sheet, if you're one of our Patreons, please do so as soon as you hear this, if you haven't already. If you just want to bounce your ideas off, you know, what we've done today, what your thoughts are, find us on social media, 12pointsUSA on basically everything, 12pointsfromamerica@gmail.com. If you want to email us directly, you can find our merchandise on Redbubble, support us with a one-off donation on our coffee account, sustained monthly donation on Patreon. They get exclusive content, early access to episodes. It's been a long run, y'all, but we will reconvene next week with the exciting conclusion to our preview season. Until then, everybody, I've been Samantha.
I've been Derek.
I've been Eric.
I've been Liz.
And I've been Danny.
And America,
stop listening now.
Was it in the defibrillator in Iceland? Am I remember?
The Hjartastarter?
For real?
Yeah.
I love it.
Pressing down in the Hjartastarter.
Yeah. And then we saw a first aid kit in Copenhagen that was just Hjartastarter. I was like, I love this country. This is the best place.
You kind of just want to like cause an accident or something just so somebody will yell, get the heart to start.
Get the heart to start.
Just and start clutching your chest.
Man
just
is imagine, dying.
Just imagine the sound the ambulance makes. It's incredible. It's just.
Is it whoop whoop?
Whoop, whoop. It might be.
That's the sound of the police.